Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Paul coming up in a moment. Your calls, too. In fact, let me get to a Bills call. Guy's been on hold for a little while, too. It is Football Monday. Yeah, the Bills didn't play, but we're still talking about, of course, the Trey White injury and the Patriots game yesterday. They've won six straight now. Paul, in a second. But first, James, thanks for holding on. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hi, thanks.
Sure.
How you guys doing this morning?
Good, thank you.
All right, that's good. I'd like to give one shout out if I can, answer the two questions, and then
could you just go to the questions? Okay. Could you just do the questions, please?
Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that. So the Bills losing Trey White. I don't feel there is any way we can really replace Trey. I feel like he's the top five cornerback in the league, and whoever they choose to fill the spot for the remainder of the season is just going to have to do his best job to hold his own. There's just really no replacing a guy like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots, they're well coached, I believe. I believe that's their biggest asset right now is being very well coached and being able to follow the coach's plan week by week. And they've been pulling out lately. Not too scared this week, but not overly confident either. And the question I have for you guys is, what's your opinion as far as a grade for Daigle this year with the play calling? My personal opinion, I feel he's a little bit too run heavy. It seems like defenses are just pretty much just trying to stop Josh Allen from beating them, and we'll literally settle for anything else but Josh, you know, just destroying them. They give our running backs like Devin Singletary, you think he's top 10 in yards per carry this season. And to me, at first, it was seeming sort of like he was a great running back that we just needed to give him more touches. But now, just looking at it for the last few weeks, it seems more like they're just willing to give him the yards and take the passing them away from Josh Allen. And that's it.
All right. Appreciate your call. I don't think they've been too run heavy. I think last week I'm not surprised they wanted to run the ball as much as they did because of what had been happening up to that point. I don't think they've been too run heavy. I'm, for the most part, happy with Brian Daigle. I'm not really into grades. I don't know. B? I have no idea.
Sometimes I feel like they run it because they feel like they're supposed to.
Well, I think there was a little bit of that for New Orleans. It's not the strength of this team. Their line isn't really a good run-blocking unit, but I don't think he's been going too run-heavy. No, not until last week.
The type of run-heavy, run-blocking, like we mentioned a couple of weeks back.
Yeah, the zone.
The story was on zone-blocking versus man-blocking for the line. They're very, very different in how successful they could be. Now, maybe that was game plan specific, and maybe, those are the games that Spencer Brown missed, whatever. But they're not terrible at all of it. It seems they do better when they do a more traditional instead of the shotgun stuff that just doesn't seem to work for them.
And I think there's some things, we talk about Diggs being more involved, but that could be Josh Allen. I mean, I don't think Brian Daigle has a game plan that says don't throw the ball to Diggs. Maybe get Gabriel Davis involved a little bit more on the offense. So there are some little bit here, a little bit there that I think I would have in terms of, assessing Brian Daigle. But for the most part, I'm good with the job he's done on play calling this season. Let's go, and we'll talk a little football, a little hockey with our good friend, Mr. Paul Hamilton. He is on the Wester Hotline and brought to us by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Good morning, Mr. Hamilton. How you doing, man?
I'm well. How are you?
You know, good. I mean, it was a pretty easy day yesterday. I wouldn't say stress-free because I was rooting for Tennessee, but, you know, without the Bills playing, I was able to just try and relax and watch football and clear my head. Trey White's injury. Let's start there. We'll get to the hockey team, of course, because they're playing the Kraken tonight. But, Paul, the best player on defense is – I'm going to assume you're agreeing to that, by the way. But the best player on defense is out for the rest of the season. How much can it affect the Bills' chances in the big picture?
Yeah, probably the second player behind Josh Allen that you could ill afford to lose. But I still think the Bills' defense is very good. Will they be as good? No. There's no way they can be. Losing a player like that, but I still think they will have a good defense, and I think it is something that they can overcome. Specifically to the Patriots, I'm more concerned with Belichick being so upset that Josh Allen embarrassed him like he did last year. That he spent no seriously. He
no,
spent,
I know. I'm not. You're right. He torched him last year.
He spent the whole summer. I guarantee it. I guarantee he spent most of his summer finding a way to stop Josh Allen. And I think Josh Allen is going to see things on Monday that he has never seen before. And he is going to have to process it. Whether he can or not, we'll find out. But he is going to see some things from Belichick that he has never seen before. And I think I'm more concerned with the confusion that Josh Allen is going to have to deal with. Yeah. And I think it'll be the same way for the Patriots quarterback too. I think as a rookie, I think the Bills will do a good job of disguising things for him too and trying to confuse some of the things that he sees also. So we may see a very low-scoring game from that. But in this specific, even when I didn't realize the Patriots were a much better team this year, I still thought – the Bills will be lucky to split with the Patriots just because, as I said, I'll guarantee you Belichick spent all summer trying to figure out what he was going to do with Josh Allen.
That's funny. Yeah, I wasn't laughing at the statement. I was laughing because I think you're right. I mean, he got – it's you know, not often that quarterbacks have that kind of game against the Bill Belichick defense, certainly not inside with division rivals for sure. I could see where that – that game.
Remember when he had the
claw.
Temper tantrum and threw the telephone?
On the yeah, that's why I'm laughing because I think it's really funny. You're probably right. Yeah, like, this is really funny.
He drove him to throwing the telephone. So
yeah. I didn't think about it that much, but that's really great. All right, Mr. Hamilton, let's talk some hockey. Holy Tage Thompson! What the heck? I mean, is he this good? Is there he's in a hot streak? What do I think of Tage Thompson?
Well, over the years, we've talked about Tage Thompson, and I always felt he had 25-goal talent in him, I felt. But you just never knew if it was going to be able to come out in the right way. And Granato, in the way he approaches coaching, figured out a way to do it. Now, I never in a million years thought – I can't tell you for one second I thought to myself, well, you know what? If they move him to center, that's really going to be the thing that'll get him going.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a thought that ever – I mean, why would have been? He hadn't played center in the NHL. He played center very little at UConn. I mean, he hadn't played center since he was a kid, you know, but it made sense to Don Granato, and there were reasons for it. And, you know, and he has just flourished. I mean, Granato was right. I mean, it gave him a chance to be able to have a lot of options as he moved to the center of the ice with the puck. And it's really given this kid all sorts of confidence. You know, one thing that you noticed before, he always had a great shot, but you very rarely saw it because he took so long to get it off that if you did see it, it was usually wide. Or you didn't see it at all, or he wouldn't shoot. You know, he'd be looking to pass or things like that. But that shot is just deadly. I mean, look at it now. He gets it off quick,
Yeah. And
it's on net. It still has the velocity that it's always had. And, you know, it's just a lethal shot right now. So I think he's put a lot of work in too, you know, improving how he gets his shot off, the quickness that he gets it off with, his accuracy. So I think that's, you know, credit to him too, the work that he's put in the offseason to try to refine his game.
I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Seems like he's developing, in addition to the confidence, and he wants to shoot, like he wants to be the guy to take the shot, he's developing a little bit of swagger, a little cockiness too. Right? You cited the play the other night where he gets decked, and he gets up, and he ends up scoring the goal and stares the guy down from Montreal.
Yeah, and it was, you know, funny to listen to Granato saying, you know, he goes, did I like it? He goes, there has to be two components. You have to, you know, have the swagger to do it, but you also have to be able to back it up. And he said he had the components from both mm-hmm. both ways, and he liked it. You know, so it was kind of funny to hear him say that. And yeah, it was, you know, he was mad. And that was the thing. It was Brian had come down, and I was sitting there talking to Brian as it was happening, and he got decked at center ice. And you could just see the ice open up, and I said, look at the middle, look at the middle. He's going to come right down the middle. And you could see how angry it was when he got up, and sure enough, he just went straight for the net. And, you know, it was a good job by Skinner and Olofsson to get in on the forecheck. And Skinner made the nice pass, and they wound up with the goal. And, by the way, I thought that was Skinner's best game in like 3 years.
I'm glad you wrote that in your articles. I thought his forecheck, his work in the offensive zone, he created the goals, really. I thought he was fantastic.
Plus his work in the defensive zone. He got back one time in the third period. It looked like a very, very dangerous rush. And he got back and you could just see him hustling back. And he got back and broke it up. And they wound up going back the other way. And the mistake he made for the goal, it's not a mistake where it's a dumb mistake or you made a stupid play or you weren't hustling or it happens. He fanned on his pass.
Yeah.
You know, he got the puck and he fanned on it. You know what? I'm not going to sit there and scream and yell and get on him for that. I mean, it happens. And he fanned on the pass, and it was in the net faster than Tokarski could even help bail out his teammate. And, all right, that was the goal you gave up. So, I honestly, that's not a mistake I would hold against a player, and I just thought he had a really nice game.
You know, looking at Skinner, Paul, he's got 13 points in 21 games. Last season he had 14 points in 53.
Like, yeah.
He's I think everybody would agree he's not going to get to the 40-goal, $9 million player again. But he certainly can be serviceable for now and maybe for a little longer, which is, you know, I guess you take that as a small win for the Sabres, maybe a big win that it's not a complete waste of space. But Don Granato, the other thing, again, like plus-minus might not do it for you. He's even with Granato after being a minus 33 in two seasons with Kruger. So Kruger was so, you know, obsessed about defense. And here he is, contributing and an even player. You know, it's nice to see. I think it's another credit to Granato.
But he made a nice defensive play in that game, you know, that you don't normally see from him. Yeah, there were some mistakes he's made in the past week or so on defense, and I would subscribe when you've got a one-goal lead with 12 seconds left, he probably's not the guy I want on the ice. And he has been for two different games now, and it's gone haywire both games. Yeah, but he's been
He's also
more...
the guy you do want out there when you're down one with 12 seconds left.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Things happen when he's on the ice.
You know, he's been more consistent. I still would like to see more consistency in the game than I've seen, but you've seen more games that have been better games under Granato, whereas under Kruger – He would sometimes have really good games, and he would really go away for a long time, and then he would get a bunch of chances, but he couldn't convert on any of them. He couldn't score on any of them. It'd be chance after chance after chance, and he just was never converting on any of them. And it's still that way to a little bit of a point, but he's been much better this season. And first of all, I think he's in better shape. I think just by looking at him, he got big last year, and I think it took away some of his quickness, And, you know, this year I think he's in better condition. And, you know, we've seen a much better player than we saw last year, and that's for sure.
Seattle tonight. One thing, Paul, you know, we could get into a lot of different things about the Sabres. I think that right now where I stand on them is they're definitely good enough to beat bad teams and good enough to give good teams trouble, but not win games. And, you know, the fact that they beat Montreal, everybody's beaten Montreal. They're sticking with Detroit, who's around their level. Seattle's not necessarily anything great, so I expect them to probably beat Seattle. And then when you get back into the games against the Capitals and the Bruins, you'll probably look like the team that you are, which, you know, it's they slot in accordingly. They put in an honest effort, and every once in a while they can rise up and, you know, bite one of those bigger teams. But I think they beat the bad teams, and they kind of fall valiantly to the good teams, if you could say that.
Well, look at the points that they've lost to the good teams, like right at the end, you know, where they looked like they were going to get points from Toronto. They looked like they were going to get points against the Rangers. You know, they looked like they were going to get points against Los Angeles. You know, and there were a lot of those games. And just stop and think, if you could add those points into the total right now, they'd be right there. You know, and those are points that in the past we weren't even talking about that. Yeah. They were close on. You know, they weren't even in the ballpark. The thing with Seattle, I said the same thing. I said to Brian before this three-game set started, I said, go win three games. And I said, you know what? Maybe you're not going to be able to win three because you're at the end of five games and seven nights. And I'm sorry if people want to say that's an excuse. That is a hard thing to do. And it was back-to-back with the last game of the 5-7 on the road. Get the loser point somehow. Go find a way to get the loser point and come back with 5 out of 6 points here. Well, they did that. They went out there and got that loser point against Detroit, and they were out of gas in a lot of that game. And I'm not going to sit there and apologize for saying that and say, well, it's just an excuse. Well, I'm sorry. It's the NHL, and 5-7 is not an easy thing to do. The only thing about Seattle is it should be a win for them, but last week the Seattle beat the Capitals, the Hurricanes, and the Panthers.
Yeah.
By a combined score of 11-4. It's like, where did that come from? Because ever since they beat the Sabres, they had really been bad until last week. And now you're scratching your head. And two of them were at home, and one was on the road in Florida. How did they beat those three teams? So, you know, I hate the old cliche, but don't sleep on the Kraken, I guess, this week. Because
wait, don't sleep on the Kraken can't be that old of a cliche, Paul. They're only around for a year. I wanted to ask you about the goalies, because I was just digging through a bunch of the numbers, you know, high danger save percentage and quality start percentage and all this stuff. And the Sabres' goaltending numbers, they're actually kind of middle of the road. They're not that bad. So why, Paul, do I feel like goaltending is really submarining this team?
It did for a while. It can. I mean, Tokarski is what he is. He's a backup at best. He's not a starting goaltender in the National Hockey League, and I don't think anybody ever portrayed him as that. I mean, he won a job, but when he won the job, the starting job was supposed to be Anderson's, and when that was the way it was, they both were playing really well. And then Tokarski played really well, and then he didn't. And now he is again. You know, the last three times out, he's played very well. It was the Boston game where he took over for Dell, and the only goal he gave up in 40 minutes was right at the end during the major penalty. He gave up one and played really well, and then he's taken it into his next two starts, the back-to-back starts that he had. So, you know, it's been inconsistent. I don't feel, you know, Dell's it looks like he's not an NHL goaltender anymore, so I don't really feel you can put him in the net. If you get to a point where you got to put somebody in the net, I think you got to call Luukkonen up and put him in the net. I just don't think you can put him in the net anymore. And Tokarski, you know, it's good sometimes, it's not good sometimes, but he is who he is. I mean, he wasn't supposed to be the starting goaltender here. I mean, people are just ripping into the goaltending and this isn't what – Adams didn't go get Tokarski and Dell and say, this is our goalies for the year. That's not what this was supposed to be. But I think they fully expected Luukkonen to grab the job. I think they thought Luukkonen and Anderson were going to be their goalies. And going forward, Tokarski was supposed to be their fourth-string guy. you know, as they came in. Dell was like, you know what, if it goes the way we think it is, he's going to be in Rochester with Tkachukwu, and they're going to be – that they were supposed to be the pair in Rochester when the season started. So, you know, the sitting there – people just seem to forget for some reason, I guess since it's here and now, they forget Anderson is on the team, and they just think that Adams went out and got these two and that's what he went out and got for the goaltending. No, that's not what he did. It's kind of how it's wound up because of the injury and Luukkonen not, you know, having a good camp and not making it.
And it's also a function of Allmark leaving. I mean, they were interested in keeping him.
They were, and Allmark wanted. And the Allmark was this way. It was like the Sabres were not offered what the Bruins were. It was going to cost the Sabres more to keep Allmark than it was for the Bruins to sign him. And I wouldn't even have given him the contract the Bruins gave him. Yet more. So I am not going to sit here and jump on Adams' case. Everybody says, well, he lost Allmark. No, he didn't. Allmark left. You know, and that was a product of the way the team has been for the last 10 years. Allmark hasn't been here for all 10 of the years.
Yeah.
But that's why McCabe left, and that's why Allmark left, and that's why Reinhart wanted to leave, and that's why Eichel wanted to leave, and that's why Ristolainen wanted to leave. I mean, this storyline that he let Allmark go. No, he didn't. Allmark wanted to go. He wanted to leave. And if the only way he was going to come back is if you gave him a contract that was more than what the Bruins did. And Adams wasn't willing to do it, nor should he have been willing to do it.
With Luukkonen and Paul, you know, didn't have a great camp. You wonder what they're really waiting for. I'd put it this way. I don't think the way their goaltending is going will have any effect on when they call Luukkonen up, when they decide it's time. They'll decide it's time when it's time for him, not because they need help.
I think to give him a spot start, but I don't think he'd stay here.
Yeah.
You know, you give him the spot start and you send him back. You know, I think is the way it would look into. I mean, Tkachukwu can't play every game, and I just don't think it's fair to the team to put Dell in that right now.
Yeah,
it's that bad. I mean, Dell is 32 years old. I mean, and I just don't think he has it anymore. I mean, he did play in the league for 4 or 5 years with San Jose, and was, you know, serviceable there, but you know, it just doesn't seem to be there anymore. So.
Well, I was just going to say, well, tonight, you know, speaking of goalies having a rough go, Grubauer maybe has been better lately, but he is the worst goalie in the league right now, Paul, at, you know, fancy stat, goals saved above average. Grubauer has been very bad for them, and that's a big, long signing. So, like, did not get off to the start that the Seattle Kraken thought it would be.
Well, I think he was a product of playing for one of the best defensive teams in the National Hockey League last year. Colorado could score goals, and they also could keep them out of their net. They were very good on defense, very good at both ends of the rink. I mean, Johansson left Buffalo, and, of course, we have to criticize the Sabres because, well, why did they let him go? Well, he went from the worst defensive team in the National Hockey League to the best. So he stood in goal, and, of course, he was better and put up better numbers in Colorado. First of all, they score goals for him. Second of all, he doesn't see all the high-quality chances that he saw in Buffalo, where he has to stand on his head for 45 shots or whatever it was, you know, on a nightly basis. So, of course, his number is going to be better there.
Paul, before I let you go, quick injury question. What's up with Mittelstadt?
He was skating on his own last week. They had so many games, they didn't want him to go in the morning skate because they're not on the ice that long. They got to get off for the other team. And he said Granato said there's been no setback or anything like that, but they said they wanted him on the ice longer. So he was out there with Tuck and you know, just skating on his own and going longer with a longer, harder practice than you would get in a morning skate.
So time frame, is there any word on when he could
be
back?
They're not going to give a time frame on Nothing. Anderson or Mittelstadt or any of them because of the nature of their injury. It's just... It's when you wake up and you feel better. And you don't know when that's going to be. It was the same thing with Olofsson.
Yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden Olofsson's playing, out for a morning skate. He's not even out for a practice. He's out for a morning skate, and he's in the game that night.
Yep. All right.
And the day before, they had no idea Olofsson was going to be ready.
All right, Mr. Hamilton, thanks for the update. Nice to chat with you.
Yes, happy Hanukkah. And
thank you. I'll expect 8 gifts.
Can I give you more?
Sure. I mean, I'm worthy of more, but whatever. I didn't want to, you know, make you feel
How's that vending machine doing there? I mean, can I find 8
We got to this segment, by the way, without any Mets talk, Paul. I figured you'd come in, you know, ready to fire some shots at Howard about Max Scherzer.
Is that, should I fire shots about that?
Like, what's going to happen? Is he going to be good, or is he going to get Mets'd? You know, like
someone tweeted at me and said they look forward to the story about how he hurts himself tying his shoe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's done. Put him on the injury report right now.
I was nice enough not to bring up that he lost, they lost a good pitcher a couple weeks ago. I was a good boy.
Yeah, you are. Well, I wouldn't use the term good boy describing you, but whatever.
I didn't bring it up, did I?
Let's just say you weren't a jerk like you normally are. Let's just put it that way. I love Scherzer, but $42 million a year is a lot of money to pay a pitcher.
Well, it's not your money.
Well, indirectly it is if I'm buying tickets to see them. So I'm a stockholder.
Hey, have you applied to Gordon yet to be the Canadiens GM?
No. No, I can't speak French. They want a bilingual
guy. Are
they
taking applications?
But you got to be bilingual.
Yeah, can you speak French, Jer?
Does it have to be French? Can it be a different language?
I'm pretty sure it has to be French. Yeah. Mm. They don't take.
It says bilingual.
They don't say, all right, now we're going to take questions in Spanish for the GM.
I don't even speak a second language, so I'd have to really work on that. All right.
Yeah, you need to be bilingual.
The way you asked that question, I figured you had another language down.
No. But, I mean, I could decide to learn another one instead.
Portuguese or something.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Hamilton. Thank you, sir.
Take care, guys.
All right, Paul. Paul's segment brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide by Raylex Honda. Raylex, we got this. We got to get to the break. But things you see on Twitter. So I guess Bill Belichick was doing he has a weekly radio show on WEEI in Boston. He was on his weekly radio show this morning. Karen Gorigian, I think is how you pronounce it, from the Boston Herald, tweeted this. Bill Belichick on WEEI's The Greg Hill Show on the Bills Mafia. Quote, they definitely don't like me. I guess that's an accurate quote. I mean, he apparently didn't wax poetic about the Bills fan base. He just said they don't like me. I think.
Why? What happened?
Nothing. I'm just sharing a tweet about a quote on the Bills fan base from Bill Belichick.
Oh.
Who does like him? Maybe Giants fans still like him? I don't know. Jeremy, you grew up a Giants fan. Does any fan base not named New England like Bill Belichick?
No. NFL media.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I have no idea why. All right, 803-0550 to join us. Trey White injury. We're talking about that this morning, the impact on the Bills. And assuming many of you did spend some time yesterday watching New England play Tennessee, what did you think of what you saw from the Patriots? It is Bills Football Monday, and it is brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
I don't know who that'll be. Anyway, that's when you'll start making payments on that vehicle. At Riverfront, they'll take care of your first three payments when you buy a vehicle before the month is out. So get to Riverfront, 1379 Niagara Street in Buffalo, a good thing to take advantage of from them. Also, if you're looking to sell a vehicle, you can sell to Riverfront Auto Sales or with the help of Riverfront Auto Sales because they will get that vehicle in front of more buyers. They have the ability to show it anywhere. You can sell it in Tonawanda. You can sell it in Texas. And when you have more options on where to sell or who to sell a vehicle to, you can sell it with Riverfront's help and make more money. So if you're selling a vehicle, you'll make more money by selling it with Riverfront as opposed to just selling it online yourself. 886-1626. That's 886-1626. Give them a call to buy or to sell with Riverfront Auto Sales. In my head right now as I'm unsubscribing to every single email list I could possibly be on.
What's the matter?
Howard, it's Cyber Monday. You know what that means. Specials here. Specials there.
Email.
What's that? Boom. Unsubscribe. Windmill dunk. Unsubscribe. Double clutch through the leg. J.R. Ryder. Unsubscribe. I am cleaning out.
Would you do mine? I've never unsubscribed emails. I never took the time to actually do that.
Oh, man. I mean, I have unsubscribed so many email lists and marketing. I'm just bam, bam, bam.
Feeling very powerful this morning.
Another one.
I don't know what you're talking about. Look, I'm not going to name names, but I've got an email here about the last day of free shipping from this pool company.
Unsubscribe.
It's a brand new Cyber Monday from Schmarget. Deals are available. Sorry, I wouldn't. Yeah, I'm not. Let's see. Oh, Shmoam Shmipo, Cyber Day savings on thousands of items at my fingertips.
Respectfully, if I may, most of the deals stink, too. Like, they're not even all that good.
I was talking about this. This is
my Corey, airport parking place has a cyber sale, Jeremy.
Let's allow ourselves to be old people. You know, in my day, it felt like the cyber deals were better. Because I do feel that way about Black Friday, too. Like, hey, come on down and get, you know, like 20% off. Like, what? That's it?
Ooh, I got 50% off here at this one place.
All right, well.
I'm telling you, there's some really good stuff here. BPO's offering a Cyber Monday special. You want to go see the Buffalo Philharmonic play a little bit?
At least the
product's good. I will support a lot of local businesses and then unsubscribe your email so hard.
Yeah, we don't need to have a relationship.
I mean, you're going to wonder if you're – I don't even know. I'm going to unsubscribe so hard your grandma feels it. What do they say? Like something like that? You know,
I
like,
should do that, actually. I should take some time to do that. Yeah, every email here is
– I don't even want to read my work email, man. Geez. I don't – like, I ain't reading yours.
Oh, I unsubscribe to that. Alan, I'm never hearing from him again. Unsubscribe.
I caught that. I don't mean Josh Allen. I just realized you're our boss.
Oh, yeah. Management, unsubscribe.
Corporate, what?
Sorry,
corporate?
I got caught up. I was on an unsubscribing spree.
What? Here's 20% off your paycheck. Nope. Out.
Another email about a training session from corporate?
Unsubscribe.
Oh, my God. I just checked my home emails. Not my. You're right, man. Everything is just wow. Hey, NHL Shop has a Cyber Monday special, huh?
Oh, guess what I did to them?
You unsubscribe.
You know it.
Come on, I'm getting this. Is like,
give me another one. Reminds me of an old, line up another
this
one.
This is like an old Crazy Eddie TV commercial
He's
growing
on
up on Long Island.
Who
what
else?
What are we doing? Yeah, we got 50% off stereos. You
Embark,
know it. Embark. Televisions.
The DNA dog site. Unsubscribe.
Crazy Eddie reference.
Look at
How about
you.
That?
Yeah. Even Golf Galaxy.
Unsubscribe.
But it's golf.
Everybody.
You
love PGA
golf.
Tour. PGA Tour is trying to get me to buy tickets to a major. Unsubscribe. Maybe I'll do it, but not on your watch.
See, the problem is what I don't do in my emails, which I should. Like, you know, if you ever buy anything to a game anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I bought tickets to a Mets Nationals game once at the Nationals website. So, of course, I get emails from nationals.com all the time.
They think you want to go to Nationals games.
Right.
I'm still getting Padres emails from like 10 years
really?
Ago probably until today. Unsubscribe.
That's right.
See you later.
I'm telling you, this is a funny commercial.
It's a guillotine league for an email list.
Got
You're all out.
Emails? Unsubscribe.
Unsubscribe.
Email from a company you bought one item from 10 years ago? Unsubscribe.
Yep.
I mean, this is
How was your Thanksgiving? How was your turkey day and all
we
this?
We still have leftovers. What's the timeline on this? How far before you chuck the leftovers? How many days out should you still be making sure you
If you had dinner
leftovers?
On Thursday, I
had
think.
Had dinner Thursday. Had I would leftovers give you Friday.
5 or 6 months.
I would give you till I would eat turkey sandwiches until.
See, we were having this
Sunday,
debate
Monday.
Last night about yeah. whether to have more turkey leftovers because we had them Thursday, we had them Friday, and I thought, again, turkey again? So they're sitting in the fridge. I think today they're going to go in the garbage.
You made the bird too big. You got
no,
too
wasn't
big of
that
a bird.
No, we got like a 12-pound bird. That's not that big.
If you have leftovers going a week out, you've got yourself too big of a turkey.
Well, we had some. We didn't have like a full for three of us leftovers, but there were some scraps available with some of the fixings, you know. I just think turkey three nights out of four is not happening. I don't care how good the turkey was.
Well, we had three Thanksgivings, basically.
Well, you had Thursday, you had Friday.
Yeah, and then we had another one on Saturday. We went to the Bulldog family Thanksgiving.
Oh, very nice. I thought maybe you had leftover from your smoked turkey.
No. So we had three Thanksgivings. It was great. A lot of turkey.
Boy, that's a lot of Thanksgivings.
It's a lot of Thanksgivings.
A very
yeah.
Bulldog Thanksgiving. Sounds like yep. a TV special.
Yeah.
It was great. Everything went great.
Smoked
turkey went great. It was great. Got a lot of tips from a lot of people, a lot of listeners. So the smoker squad came correct. You know, it was very good.
Nice. Very
so
nice.
So everything went great. Soccer.com. Unsubscribe.
Get it out of here.
Good night. It just came through.
Wow, I can't believe you're unsubscribing.
Yep.
Thank you. You love soccer.
Your request has been processed.
Now, here's the funny thing. I got soccer.com, too. When did I order something? Did I order something for you once off soccer? I probably did.
They didn't say they did it, by the way. They just said they're processing it.
I got a soccer.com. Final hours. Great game team. Black Friday is ending. Save on. Oh, this is from Friday, but I don't remember ordering anything. It had to be a jersey for you. I must have gotten you something years ago.
This is amazing. Sorry, I just got an email.
About unsubscribing your unsubs... Don't... Okay, no, I'm not sure.
unsubscribe from your
unsubscribe. You're unsubscribing.
Yeah. No, what I got was an email from a company that said, "We've removed you. We're sorry to see you go. Was this a mistake? Would you like to subscribe?"
Wow.
Get help. What?
They dumped you, huh?
No. They said, "Are you sure you wanted to unsubscribe?"
Oh, they're asking you to change your mind.
Are you crazy?
Yeah.
They need
They need to take their harassment training because this.
You're about to not get crappy emails from us that you don't care about. Are you sure you want to do this?
You sure you don't want to read our stuff?
Are you sure you don't want less junk in your inbox?
A computer wrote it. You sure you don't want to read it?
Right. Anyway, Cyber Monday. Maybe I'll go buy some stuff and I'll get resubscribe to a bunch of lists.
Entertainment Earth deals are ending soon. I feel like I should probably. What the hell's Entertainment Earth, and why did I get something from them? All right, hey, that was fun. Thanks for – I had to go clean out all my emails. Extendo Sports coming up in a moment. Top of the hour, of course, it is the Extra Point Show, and Mr. Sal Capaccio will be taking your calls. I'm sure he'll talk more about Trey White. And, of course, New England, since we have lots of time to get ready for the Big Bills-Patriots game right now. And you'll be able to join them, too. Don't forget, phone calls always welcome, 803-0550. The Extra Point Show is 10 to noon on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Would you like a Christmas tree update in Extendo Sports today?
Sure, I can also give one. Ours is up.
Is it? Real or fake?
Real. It's in the house. It's up. We got it yesterday, and we'll probably decorate it today.
They're real and they're... Anyway, possible Christmas tree shortage issue this year.
Oh, we got ours.
Yeah, good for you.
What do you give me for it?
How much did you pay for it?
It's not important.
Careful, he's going to sign you up for his email list.
I'm selling Christmas trees.
I need to know how much you're going to, gouge me for in your... profit margin. So yeah, maybe. Anyway, WBEN had a guest on their show this morning who owns a tree farm in Springville. So if you're going to get a tree, one of these first two weekends in December would be the time to go. Don't wait much beyond that because they might run out of trees. So not surprisingly, like everything else, there's a tree shortage. Sizes are a little bit different, a little bit larger, smaller trees not readily available, variety of trees not there, little bit of a price increase. So just a quick little heads up there on tree shopping.
Redwoods. Mm. They're using redwoods now.
The big things from out,
said they're running a little bit bigger.
They're going to be tough to fit, yeah.
This is going to be like National Lampoon's Christmas movie, right? Didn't he buy a tree that, was that the one where a tree went through the window or something like that? He bought a tree that was too big for the house?
No, that was Die Hard.
It was not Die Hard.
Yeah, that was right at the beginning of the movie, right in the plaza.
What was the name of the company with the big Christmas party? Sumitomo. What is it?
The Nakatomi Plaza?
Nakatomi Plaza.
Yeah.
I don't know that they said the name of Holly Gennaro's company.
In L.A.
I thought they did say the name of it.
Nakatomi Corporation, I think,
yeah,
isn't it?
Wasn't that the name of the corporation?
I think it is. Yeah. I'm not positive. Do you know the building? The building itself is like Fox Studios building.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's like a real building. It's still there downtown.
Well, that's convenient.
It was under construction. I watched the movies that made us, and that was one of the... Do you guys ever watch that?
Is that on...
It's a great
Schmetics?
Series.
It is amazing.
It's such a good series.
Yes, I have seen
some
of
the movies that made us, and Die Hard is one of them, and that's where they go through the Fox Studio buildings and how they chose
it. I didn't know that was the Fox Studio building.
Yeah, you got to watch it. It's really good.
I like that movie. It makes me want to go get Twinkies. So.
Yeah.
That's a good reason to watch that movie. What else? Hey, quick thought. Jeremy, Lincoln Riley to USC. How about that for a wow story from over the weekend? Quick thought on that?
Sure.
Do you have a quick thought on that?
No, that's it. Like, okay.
That was your quick thought on that?
I
maybe he doesn't like the SEC.
Southern California traditionally has lots of great high school quarterbacks. And over the last couple of decades, they've been leaving the area to go to other places.
So now
if Lincoln Riley, if he can just recruit those kids, they're going to be back like one of the best teams again. I think he's a great coach.
He already had some of those recruits at Oklahoma. Yeah.
He had like three guys, I guess, from California that last night flipped their recruitment.
Does not surprise me.
Yeah, so they're going to SC.
I think Jeremy and I just want to know, like, when are we getting our Lincoln Riley at Syracuse, right?
Yeah, well, you know what?
He fired his offensive coordinator,
I saw. Okay, hold on. I got a name for you. How about David Cutcliffe? He just got fired.
He got retired.
I think David Cutcliffe is one of the most underrated coaches, like football coaches, At any level. I just think he's always done more with less, it seems.
Especially
like.
Especially Duke.
He's leading right. Duke.
Yeah,
I know.
And he took them to a bunch of bowl games, and they hadn't made it since
I've always been a Cutcliffe fan.
Yeah, so.
I think that's one of those programs, like you say, this if you could win in Duke in football, you could probably win just about anywhere. We'll see what Lance does at Kansas, but I think Duke is one of those on a short list of nobody won there until he showed up. So, all right, Sal is here. He's getting ready for his extra point show. Phone lines are open, 803-0550 to join him. If you want to call now, reserve a spot and talk with him next. And we'll be back tomorrow morning at 6. Don't forget Sabres game tonight. Pregame show at 6 as they take on the Kraken, and we'll have it here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.